So it's good, man.
It's all good, yeah. So why don't you, if you wouldn't mind telling me your name and where you're from, who you're representing, and why you're here today.
I'm Son Youngberry. I'm Kibaho and Thunder Clan. I'm Potawatomi and Meskwaki. I'm from Kansas. Potawatomi from Kansas. But I mostly grew up in Canada, one of the Great Lakes. So that's where my home territory is.
And now you live here in Moline?
No, I live in Kansas.
Oh, you live in Kansas?
Yes, okay. I come up here to support the Chicago youth.
Okay.
So I've been helping them out through the 5-7 years.
Okay.
To go there, show them, take those kids out. Took them up to Michigan to another fruit salad. We learned how to cut beavers and how to cook on a fire, tap maples and all that stuff like that.
Okay. How did you meet them in the first place?
I used to live in Chicago for a while.
Yeah.
So like I said, I go to American Institute of Power and stuff like that. And then I found out through the years, I was younger than like 13, 16, whatever. They didn't have nothing going on in the community. And these guys start stepping up, and they were young, like Janie, she's been doing it, she was like 18, and so she finally got her kids, you know, young kids come together, so they're getting bigger and bigger, and so they start traveling around, so I'll go out and support them and stuff. Sometimes they stop in Kansas, and I show them how to pick sage, I show them different prairie plants and stuff. Sometimes they grow in Chicago, but they didn't see it in wild, like a prairie road. They were, oh, I didn't see a prairie road, taking pictures and try not to laugh or nothing. But I live on a reservation, so I'm so used to it, seeing wild stuff and stuff like that. But I do learn a lot from these young kids from the Cheyenne Nation, because they learn about plants and stuff, what I didn't learn about either. So like I said, I'm still learning.
How did you learn then?
Up with my grandma and my grandpa. Mm-hmm. And my great-great-grandma, my great-great-grandpa and stuff like that since I was a young kid. Plus I grew up on a reservation, so they practiced the traditional ceremonies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to hunt for my uncle first and all that stuff like that. And plus I traveled with my grandpa all the United States and Canada to different reservations and stuff, to different ceremonies and all that stuff. So I try to learn as much as I can. And I go to like different parts of all over the country for workshops and stuff to learn as much as I can. So, because like I said, we are in the world, we are indigenous people of this land. We need to get back to it again. Learn who yourself are, learn your culture, learn your language and stuff, so you can get your mind right. And then you understand why the indigenous people, native people in the world, why we are one still smallest population, but why we're still fighting for our land. Because we need this land, we need trees, we need clean water to survive. If there's no trees, no land, none of us in the world can't survive anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're getting that, because it doesn't matter if you're white, black, Indian, because we're all Chinese, whatever, we're all indigenous of this land. We need to get back to that, to get our mind, body, spirit, get ourselves balanced again. Because right now the world is off balance. There's more negativity than positive. And positive, one day it will correct itself, but it's gonna happen. But people won't like the changes, because it's something's coming, and indigenous people in the world knows about it, but we don't know what is coming. It's gonna be World War IV, because everybody gonna nuke each other. You see it on the news and stuff. It could be anything. It could be like a disease come wipe the people out. Only one that survived, the one who actually believe living off this land yet. We know how to heal ourselves from these trees. Everything on this ground is medicine here. Because we don't know where medicine comes from? Plants. And that's what our government gives liberty pills to give us. And that's how they make money off us. And then the native people, indigenous people in the world, we use the whole plant. It's stronger. We knock that cold out, knock that sickness in our body out. Because that's how the government wants to control the society. And same thing with TV, news and stuff, because they can put good stuff on it, but they don't. They put all the negativity stuff on it and make us paranoid. That's like I said, the web's taking over the world and make us human people think different. And that's what I said, we need to get back outside, enjoy the nature, enjoy the water, get rid of all the stress, and get to know ourselves more better than who we are.
Thank you. You were telling us in there a little bit about the circle. You were saying that you were so pleased to see what the Chi Nations, Chi Nations were doing because they represented the youth component of this circle of Native.
Oh, the Native people. It's circle of life. All of us in the world live four seasons. You know what I'm saying? Four seasons. And then that's always how people lost our people in the world lose their culture, because you know there's a baby, youth, young adult, and elder. And even a baby, the young adult teach them, you know, a circle of life. And then a young adult puts to teach a teenager and a baby how to live a proper life. And if that mom or dad not living proper life, that's how our culture lose. And then the elders get so old and die off with all the knowledge, and then we can't pass it on to the next generation, next generation, next generation. And that's how it is all over the world, because a lot of them don't follow that simple process. It's simple life. You know what I'm saying? Like you, if you grew up from your grandma, teach you language and culture, and you want to teach that to your kids, and that's what I'm talking about. This baby, a baby, youth, adult, and elder. Like I was saying, like, you want to be an elder, and you want to teach your language and kids and pass it on your generation. That's how it's supposed to be. But it's not, because a lot of them having kids when they're 13, 14, they don't know how to be a grown woman or a grown man. They don't know how to take care of kids. They're still going to high school and all that stuff.
That's why you're supporting the Chi Nations.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to you that these people, these youth, these teenagers are doing what they're doing in Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. I'm still learning from a lot from them. I was, wow, you guys did a lot more opportunities than what I did when I was younger, because I didn't have none of that stuff growing up. I didn't have no Boys and Girls Club or Indian Center. I was made of nowhere in the country, just living out, trying to live day by day best as we can. And plus, I grew up poor. These guys had more opportunity in the cities than I did on the reservation.
So, as I mentioned to you, that I'm English, as you can tell. There's a German cultural institute that's based in Berlin that's very interested in environmental change and what that means in relationship to the Mississippi River, and how that's being felt in all these different ways up and down the Mississippi River from Minnesota right down to the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here. As I mentioned, we're on this journey. And of course, settler colonialism is like one of the major things that we're encountering in this whole journey along the Mississippi. And I was wondering what your thoughts were around audiences from Europe and afar coming to this part of the world, taking an interest in these issues, and what it means to support these sorts of things, or what it means to, how does it feel to you? Like, is it interesting to you that there's people from Europe here recording you even now, and wanting to kind of take that back to Europe and put it on a website? And
that's really great.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stereotype about Native Americans. If you read history to go up in Europe or Russia, this would be afraid of us. And then, like I said, there's mascots all over the world by Native people doing tomahawk chop and all that stuff. Well, I'm proud that people come over to learn who we are and stuff. And saying that, hey, that ain't them. They're saying in the books overseas and stuff. I know you guys got books about us, and you read it, and then you actually come over and have that stuff and that story. They ain't telling our side of the story, how we live here, how we were very respectful, kind we are, we bite you in, we feed you, and give you gifts. So that's how we are. You come to our territory, we treat you with respect and everything like that and stuff. We greet you, and thank you guys for coming and interviewing me. I didn't expect to get interviewed.
Yeah.
And stuff. No, I'm proud you guys come over and support us, because we need to come over. We've been coming over on that side of the world to support you guys. We go over to do dance performance every year. People take her across over Europe and Russia, China. We've been doing that past 30 years, 40 years all the time. We always go over there all the time and dance for you guys, do performance, sing and all that stuff. We've been doing that over 4 years already.
Mm. Cool. Do you feel, how are you feeling at the moment with things you're seeing with Chi Nations and all of the other projects we've heard about today, like the Sisters of Solidarity and these projects? Do you feel, Have you heard of, well, Indigenous futures, you know, this idea of really meaningful resistance that's kind of being felt now? I mean, has it changed, do you think, since when you were a youth? Do you feel hopeful that you're having new opportunities to get parts of land back? And
it changes a lot. Because why is that? Because a lot of our youth my age and younger going to school now got more opportunities to go to college now. We got our own university, all native school. We go to learn to be lawyers, doctors, and then we learn much as we can. Then we can come back and back to the reservation, come back to different any communities here, like the Cross Cities, Chicago, anywhere in the United States and Canada, to educate our Indian people. We can do this by law and that by law. And when I was growing up, it was harder for us because a lot of us didn't have the opportunity to know college scholarship. And but we're breaking that barrier. We're catching up to the modern society right now. Because back in the day, we're back in the 30s and 40s. Yeah, now we jumping 30, 40 years ahead. We're still behind the modern society in the world. Because we're small population, we're being depressed. The government did their work on us back in the day. They forgive us. Had a law back in the day, we can't speak our language, we can't speak our culture federally. Back in the 70s, they had that law passed that we can do especially free our culture.
Yeah. Sean, I'm really interested in what you were saying about needing to have this connection with the land because it nourishes us and supports us, and we're all Indigenous of the land. And how I'd like to learn and understand a little bit more about your people and your nation incorporate those practices into potentially otherwise urban lives where you're not necessarily directly living off the land. But as we've just heard about the Chi Nations, they've reclaimed a patch of land and they're doing their work there. So can you help me understand a little bit more about what it means to move into modern lifestyles but retain your cultural practices and everything else?
Well, basically, we just had to practice every day. Like I said, everything is life. We use our ceremonies. We use different animal parts for our ceremonies, and that's part of from the earth. We use plants. We dig the roots out. We put our tobacco down. We always give thanks to the land. We tell them what that plant, that tree. We use it for our ceremonies. I'm sorry for taking your life, but we can put a positive energy. I mean, the energy will come back from the trees and plants come back to us and help us heal and stuff for ourselves and in our communities. But it's very hard to live both worlds because you can't. It's hard because you have to go out to make money. You don't practice every day because you have to live in the modern world because it's hard because you got to pay your rent, your water, electricity, plus your food. And then you come back and try to practice and then sometimes. Sometimes you forget what ceremonies we're supposed to do, but that's okay. We're all human beings because we forget. We get older in the 80s, 90s. Oldest people forget their knowledge. And us young people are here, and we need to go back home and learn from our grandmas, our grandpas, or somebody that really want to teach us. And like I said, we always trade. We always want to get that samo and tobacco and ask for it. We don't want no money and nothing like that. We always want to do it in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, we heard about, Regina was talking about the plastic medicine men that are coming in and stealing the culture and selling it on.
I want to get out to the gym group.
Oh. I'm packing. Thank you very much. Thank you, brother. Thank
you. I had to trade, Indian people.
That's right. Oh, I like the way it smells too.
Yeah, I just picked it a couple weeks ago. Yeah, so like I said, Indian people always do that. They invite us into their home here, and I always want to give them something back to them. And I have a bunch of sages back in my car.
You carry it around with you?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere you go? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. That's gorgeous. So the plastic medicine men that are coming in and selling on the Native American traditions and selling books, and have you encountered that problem? Gina was talking about it.
It's like that plastic medicine man, it's everywhere. because a lot of people, like I said, Indian people, we're always giving all the time. We sought that person to be a good person in heart, mind, and spirit, and gave them like tobacco and learn it, and they learn from us, and then go off somewhere else, and then start charging people money, and they do it a bad way. And what you do to other people, it comes back to you. You know what I'm saying? You do a bad deed, and it later down the road, it comes back to you, and it hurts you. And like that one on TV, but that guy in Arizona, he learned how to do sweat lodge and stuff. And then he heard all those people in the sweat lodges and doing a sermon and learning from Native people, but he's doing it in a negativity way. So he hurt those people and he hurt himself the same process. So that's why Native people, all the people want to learn from us, don't do it in a bad way, because Indian people, we're very kind, spiritual people. We accept you guys in our house, we treat you good and stuff like that. Just don't abuse our culture. We don't want to go over Europe and abuse your culture. You'd be mad too. See, vice versa. Or go to Australia or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Don't make fun of our culture, because like I said, I'm glad you guys come over and interview us, because we very got books on us instead of mask cars. And you guys don't. To this day, they ask me, do you still live in teepees? And I said, yeah, we still live in teepees. We got satellite TV. They kind of looked at me, and then they kind of, it's a no, because the government won't allow us to do our culture that way no more. You know what I'm saying? We do it for power, some stuff, and that's about it. And we take it back down again, because the government don't want us to do that anymore. But the barrier's breaking down slowly. Like I said before, we're behind society, but we're slowly catching up to the society in the world.
Okay, and you were saying about everybody needing to know themselves and where they come from before they're able to help somebody else, and that kind of stuck with me.
Yeah,
what you were telling us.
Is it how are you going to help yourself if you're sick? And if you can't sick, you can't go up through the meeting, works out, protest. And you have to, people have to help you and stuff. You ain't balanced with yourself. Basically, if it's a circle of life, you have to be balanced with yourself, mind, body, spiritual, and emotional. And you have the little circle here, and you do it yourself. You see, I'm going to work every day, and the physical, I walk every day. And what you do after work? And then I cross that work off, and then, oh, I just stay at home. See, you ain't balancing your physical. What you do for spirituality? Oh, I go to church Sunday once a week. What you do after the church? You don't pray or nothing. See, you cross that church out, and because your spirituality is low, and your body's not even emotional, like we say, talk, and you know, getting that circle of life, that circle. That's how Native people live. We live in a circle. So you can't be balanced with yourself. If you're not healthy yourself, how you gonna help that person out? Because when you come right down to it, you can't do nothing. You sat there, you don't know what to do, because people need who themselves is, mind, body, and spirit. Because you have to be who you are. And at least know something about yourself. Like you say, your English, you know your English language, you know your land, your history. And stuff. That's good if you know that. And somebody asks, hey, where you come from? I'm British. You know what I'm saying? I'm on Pawanami. My tribe is this and my tribe is that. We migrate, my original people from the Great Lakes. But we got pushed all the way down here. We got marched. We got cheer. So we got marched all the way down here to Kansas, to Oklahoma, and stuff like that. So like I said, my ancestors went through a lot. But we're still here. We're still here, still tell the world we ain't what we say in the books anymore.
A lot of us, we don't, you're right, like in Europe, we're not able to say where we came from. We're not able to say we belong to any particular tribe or community. Most people don't have any relationship to land directly, because they also went through a process of having their land removed from them, and that all changed. So it's very true. There's work to do in Europe too. People don't know where they belong. They don't have a sense of their own history.
Yeah, like I come ask different people, I say, who are you? And they say, oh, I'm British. No, who are you? Oh, and then a lot of them ask, oh, I'm white, or I'm black. No, you're not. I say, what tribe are you? What you from Africa? Are you Zulu? I can't pronounce their names anyway. You know, getting that, they're different.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean. I think that's good.
You're welcome. Thank you
very much. We should go and get some lunch because they've set it all.